ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཚོགས 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 ཚོ 다 귀신여도 귀신이 전에다 지윤대 주원한테 장고를 했어야 되고 싫어와 근데 다 귀신여도 대바 제주도 제제 드네야 아니 귀신이 안자라 윤대 또 집에 장주 샘봉여 되게 싫어 되네 난 두두샤바니 윤대 들이야 아니 예중 장샘이야다가 따와세 내내기 귀신이 그런 게 투표를 여반하신 남미가 가신도 듣잖아 가지고 디야 소스님슬린 고레스 소스큐라 님슬린 도바체 고레스 어디네기 님슬린 바야고 용알아야 한지게 한지게 소스게 난니네 니네레 소스게 디네게 님멘 나다 제고인자 니쇼베니야 한지게 점르스 비치아다 하나 마시 틴틴틴소 근데 이거 잠바 니시 라사 남다 세디 디네 자주 셈 이거야 가지고 내가 지어 삼당고래스 나데니게는 타마 타마데리아 아니기위 사샤바데 개와데 아니기위 신이 생이데 된바지 엄마오바나 산지고바마도 예바도 아니기위 데니게 기위 진딩유라고 쇼스 몰람자다 아니 내심제 템지디기 용어 쇼스는 몰나자기 데니게 미틀이야 나도기 데니게 나나다 호도세 게데디시르
Good evening everyone on this cold evening. So last week we were continuing with the presentation on relying on the spiritual teacher, and so previously we've spoken about the qualities that the spiritual teacher requires, and if we put those in a very abbreviated manner, they need the qualities of the realizations of the mind or definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. And having come to investigate whether a teacher has these qualities or not, and coming to the conclusion that they do have, then one should rely on the teacher. And we're now in the last of the three major outlines in this chapter about how to rely on such a teacher. And so we've been speaking about this for a little while, and we've also been speaking about how when we come to having done our morning and evening meditation, where we've reflected on refuge and bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness, then we reflected on the nature of reality, then we should dedicate the merit and dedicate it so that if we haven't yet met such a teacher, that we do come to meet such a teacher, see them as such, and be able to receive teachings from them and be successful in practicing their teachings. And if we have met a teacher, then we should dedicate so that we dedicate so as to create the causes that we remain under the care of this teacher until we attain full enlightenment ourselves.
那我们就讲，那就是那么啥呀？去，那你与养学的，那给微信的人，那那我就讲给微信的信徒呢，那给点钱不明白，那你那个学习。Today
we're going to start by looking at how amongst the fields of virtue, the most powerful cause for accumulating virtue is actually the teacher. And so we'll talk about that and the kindness of the teacher. So we're starting here now in the middle of page 150. So let's start off again and read the whole paragraph just below the verse. So I'll just read the first line, which he's now commenting on. Of all the paramount sources of refuge or opportunities for accumulating merit, there is none greater than the teacher. So we usually go for refuge, of course, to the three jewels, the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, and the Sangha jewel. But amongst all of these, the greatest for accumulating merit is the Lama. Just read this again. For accumulating merit, there's none greater than the teacher. So we have these two parts about refuge and accumulating of merit. So we see here about the accumulating merit. So what does accumulating merit mean? It doesn't mean creating something physical, some matter that is over here. Rather, what it refers to is accumulating virtue on our continuum. So what does this then mean? So it's not something external, something internal, something on our continuum. So what this means is we are engaging in practices that lead to the development or the improvement of our mind. So the accumulation of merit means improving our mind, making us more kinder, making us wiser, coming to know the Dharma better, etc. So that is what is meant by the accumulating merit.
Then
So normally when we hear this term accumulating, we would think of accumulating possessions or accumulating wealth and the like. So this of course is not what we're talking about, but this idea of accumulating, of gathering together, this does have relevance here, hence we use the term. So what this term accumulating merit then, or accumulating virtue, refers to is that we do have seeds of virtue on our continuum. We all have them. We have these minds of love, minds of compassion and the like. But we need to strengthen these. We need to make them more powerful, more dominant, more prevalent within our continuum. So we have from previous lifetimes these seeds, or these minds rather, of love and compassion. If we cultivate them and strengthen them through meditating on these minds, in other words, becoming more familiar or more habituated with these minds, then they will grow and strengthen. So just to say here as an aside, the term for meditation can also be habituation or familiarization. So it has this connotation of when we say meditate, it means making familiar or making a habit. So it's the one term which is meditate has this connotation and can be translated in other ways. Okay, so we have these virtuous minds. We have not, of course, just love and compassion, but the mind of patience. We also all have these seeds of patience, and we practice the mind of patience. But this is a mind that we need to strengthen, and this will be strengthened through meditating on patience, so creating this stronger habituation or habit. And likewise, the mind of joyous perseverance, the mind that delights in engaging in virtue. Then this is a mind we have too, but it's a mind we need to strengthen through habituation. So in brief, we could say that all six perfections, we have seeds of these minds, and we can strengthen these through habituation. And then accompanying this as well, is through, as we accumulate more virtue, through strengthening these virtuous minds, the non-virtuous minds we have, they will weaken. So these two then also happen together. Just to say more on this last point here, as we accumulate more virtue, so remembering virtue now, it's being explained as this is the strengthening of our virtuous minds. As this increases, the opposite minds, the contrary minds, the non-virtuous minds, they weaken. And the weakening of the non-virtuous minds, this is the purification. So as we accumulate virtue, we purify. Put it another way, as we strengthen our virtuous minds, our non-virtuous minds weaken. Give further illustrations of this meaning of accumulating virtue then. As we strengthen the mind of generosity, then the contrary mind, the mind of miserliness, this naturally weakens. As we strengthen the minds of love and compassion, the contrary mind, such as anger or the mind wanting to harm, this mind of harmful intent, that naturally weakens. So this here then is the meaning of accumulating virtue.
초 사역이 선음 사역이 신디라다 유디레 신세데 사사 유디시오다 때라마 약효레스 라마 라마디 약효레지
The monks of various fields were accumulating virtue, then the field of the lama, the field of their spiritual teacher, this is supreme.
Then, when the Tsua Saya, the Sunam Ya Chir Tadi, Yudibine Shen, Kyobozilia, Jimba Tanji, and Jinsina Susugi, Sunam Chir Gore, and the Sukumiada Dinigi, Sunam Chir Gore. Now that Dinigi, that Sunam Sasa Yu, Beni Mikurushina, Kyoburush Jimba Tanji.
These fields then for accumulating virtue, they really are many. So we could take, for example, the field of those who are impoverished. So if the object that we are helping is someone who's in poverty, then that would be a field for accumulation of virtue, the field of the impoverished. Another field would be the field of our parents. So this is a field for the accumulation of virtue, taking care of our parents is a virtuous act, and virtue is being accumulated. And then the field that we are particularly referring to here in this context is the field of our teacher. So the field for accumulating, maybe to put it this way, the field for accumulating virtue, where the object is our teacher, this is supreme. Other fields for accumulating virtue would be where the object is our parents, and the first field for accumulating virtue would be those who are impoverished or destitute. So there the objects would be poor people. Okay, so that's maybe better English. So hearing this now we've heard that the supreme field for accumulating virtue is that of the teacher. So why is that? So let's go through the three. So the first field for accumulating virtue, that of people, of beings who are destitute. So this would include people who are impoverished, as well as animals and the like. So it's definitely virtuous to help beings who are destitute, and this is something that we certainly should do. However, other than giving them temporary help, that is all that we can. The only way that we can help them. We do not have the relationship, and they do not have the interest to or the ability to guide them towards enlightenment and the like. So the help that we could give such beings, animals, people who are impoverished and the like, is very temporary, very short term. It's something that is only about, and not even this life, but just maybe for this very, very short term. So it's beneficial and it should be done, But the merit that is accumulated is less because the benefit is something that is very short term. Then the second field to look at, the field for accumulating virtue, that of our parents. So we've heard many times that we should repay the kindness of our parents and should be there for them and help them in every way we can. And here, our parents have helped us a lot in this life, but they have only helped us in terms of this one particular life. So helping us become educated, helping us develop our personalities and good and developing a good way to developing minds of wanting to help others, etc. But very much from within the perspective of this life. So here, to repay the kindness of our parents, to help our parents, is very important. But it is very much within this context of about this one life. So here we can see, though, how this second field for accumulating virtue, that of the parents, differs from the first field of accumulating virtue, that of impoverished beings, or beings such as animals and people who are poor, in that the second field, we're talking about this life, as opposed to the first field, which was something very short-term. Then we come to the third field for accumulating virtue, that of our teachers. So why this now is supreme is that through fulfilling the wishes of our teachers, making offerings to our teachers, following their advice, etc., we will be achieving not only the accumulating not only the causes for happiness in this life, but accumulating the causes for happiness in future lives, and in all future lives, in other words, the attainment of the goals of liberation and enlightenment. And not only attaining, accumulating causes for our own welfare, but also that of others. So therefore we should see here how accumulating virtue in relation to the field that the field of virtue that is our teacher, that is the Lama, that has a far greater impact because it goes throughout this life, throughout future lives, until the attainment of the ultimate goal. And therefore, the field of virtue, that is the spiritual friend, is supreme. If we take three maybe parts of the country, so three fields in different parts of the country, so in all three fields, if one plants some seeds, crops will grow. But in the one field, the crops that will grow will be quite small and they won't be plentiful. So it's still worthwhile to do if you have the opportunity, but the result is going to be quite small. Then there's the second field, and planting seeds there, the crops will be much more plentiful and grow larger and the like, and one can have more to sell and make a larger profit. So it certainly is good to help plant seeds in that second field. But the third field, there the plants will be abundant and they'll grow to a great height and there will be plenty to sell and the profit that will be generated is great. So here we can see a difference with these three fictional fields, that it makes sense to plant seeds in all three fields, but one would be very aware that the result is going to be quite different. And therefore, when one has the opportunity to plant in the supreme fields, then that is where one should make most efforts. Mm-hmm. So again, why the field of virtue, the Lama, is supreme, is because it's through engaging with the accumulation of virtue in relation to this field of merit that it will have the greatest impact on our mental development and thereby the impact we can have on others. So, and this is because of our relationship with the teacher and the teaching of the Dharma. And that is the unique aspect of the field of virtue, that is the teacher. Through making accumulating virtue in relation to the teacher, the result is to do very specifically with our mental development and the impact that will come from that.
Well, the
teacher is either teaching the Dharma or bestowing initiations, then at that time, the teacher is being infused with all the blessings and the qualities of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And in fact, the teacher that one receives teachings from and initiations from and the like, it's not that they are only at the time of bestowing teachings or initiations, that they are at that moment or that period of time that they are infused with the blessings and the qualities of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, but it's actually at all times that teacher is infused, is actually indivisible from all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas.
And so we can
relate to this in that it's clear that we ourselves do not have the ability to receive teachings directly from Shakyamuni Buddha himself. We can't hear the Dharma presented, the sutras presented directly from his mouth. To do this, we can only receive the teachings of the Buddha through our teacher, through relying on our teacher. So this can be likened to we can only experience the joy of sunlight through the filter of bright sunlight through the filter of sunglasses. So this is similar to the role of the teacher.
And
So that now we come to this next paragraph. So here, in talking about the in Highest Yoga Tantra, there are two stages. There's the generation and the completion stage. So in the generation stage, one will visualize one's yidam. So one will visualize have an appearance of an appearance of the meditational deity. That meditational deity, in its nature, is indivisible from one's teacher.
Yeah, then.
The entity of the meditational deity is indivisible from the teacher.
Then I do cham cham do gabla, and that's ye cham da gashe got dulora de dinish marwa got. I do baby cham da do dulora damara kun, dong ba damara kun, tugurwa. 제가 미디 모신고 말어와 둘로 권해지 바로 권해야 대지 미지기 샌다 미지기에는 미디기에는 둘로 시권 바 참지 탑 양야도 제 둘로 삐 샌다 삐 바삐 둘로 샌다 시권 바 샌다 시권 차고도 차근 이게 미지기 이내 수순 통하는 남바다 말에 타하 통과래 제가 되는 게 디나신 삐 디나신 참 접근 넘버 나야 되냐 아니 지금 두어 라조여다 챘더 난고어데 던다라 미디 미 대시 아니 지금 뭐 남바 되는 신발라 뭐랑게 남아이바 대지 참을 빼지나 신체네 어 지금 시야 나가지네 남바 미저 아래마도 던다랑게 남아지 남바 다 말게 남바 샤지 소스 남바 샤고 되는 거 뭐래지네
The Tibetan cultural dance, if you've seen that, the dancers wear costumes, so their bodies are covered in costumes and their faces in masks. And so here you have the dancer is obscured by the mask and the costume. So in other words, you don't know who that dancer is, but you can only see this outer appearance. So maybe the closest we have in our culture is a masked ball, where you don't know who it is behind the mask and in their outfits and the like. But inside, it's still that particular person. So this can be likened to if one is meditating on a deity, such as a Tara, for example. So a Tara will appear in one's meditation, but the entity of Tara will be indivisible from one's own teacher. If one was meditating on Lama Atisha, then Lama Atisha's the appearance of Lama Atisha would be indivisible from the entity of one's teacher.
So if
one is engaging in generation stage practice and one is meditating on the generating this appearance here of one's deity, but in one's mind one's teacher is something separate over there and here is the appearance of one's deity, then one will not receive the blessings of the generation stage.
If the
yogi is doing the meditation correctly, then they will be very aware that the entity of their yidam and their teacher is indivisible. And with that understanding, they will be able to receive the blessing of the practice.
Lama ya, so what did you do? Then you go, how come when Lama don't go, yes,
When one is engaging in completion stage practice, so here you're seeing that one's root teacher in their entity is present within oneself. And in that way, one will be able to receive the blessings of the completion stage, or the text says perfection stage, but we normally say completion. So here we can see how seeing the deity and the teacher as being indivisible in nature is essential for receiving the blessings of both, or the realizations of both the generation and the completion stage.
So we've spoken there
about the completion and generation stage of Tantra, Pious Yoga Tantra, but it's the same also when we engage in any topic of the Sutra path. Whichever topic of the Sutra path one is engaging in, through making supplications to one's teacher, one will be able to receive the blessings and the realizations of that meditation topic. So therefore, whether one is meditating on the sutra path or the tantric path, then it's essential to receive these blessings from one's teacher.
Lama de Sanji, when he in the Sanji member, Chanju Semba in Nada, that the Niki, Lama de Lada, Sanji, when he Yungri, Chanju Semba Yungri, and then Chanju Semba Mayimba, you see it rather. In other social money, mountain when they are sometimes Sanji Kumui, some Taji, and the day Sanji Kumui, some Taji Delia, and Sanji Wale, Devachi, and Sanji Wale, and then the church who is in the Melba Tennessee. The Nijava Yina, and then
So if we speak very clearly, then we can say in actuality all spiritual friends are divided into three. There are those who are Buddhas, there are those who are Bodhisattvas, and those who are not Buddhas or Bodhisattvas. So ordinary beings in that they're not Bodhisattvas. So spiritual teachers will be one of those three. However, having made the decision to rely on someone as one's a spiritual teacher, then it is for the student to train themselves to see them as being the actual Buddha. And through training in seeing their teacher as being the actual Buddha, whether they are an actual Buddha, Bodhisattva, or an ordinary being, then the student will receive the blessings of an actual Buddha. So it's quite possible you may be thinking, but isn't it mistaken to think of my teacher who, let's say, in actuality is a Bodhisattva, not a Buddha? And now we generate in this mind that my teacher is a Buddha, when actually in reality our teacher is a Bodhisattva. So maybe we may think this could be a mistake. If we do engage in the training as advised here, in seeing our teacher who turns out to be a Bodhisattva, seeing them as a Buddha, from this no harm will come, no fault, no loss will come.
Because
We ourselves, we have no way of saying whether our teacher is a Buddha or is not a Buddha, or is a Bodhisattva or not a Bodhisattva. We really cannot differentiate for ourselves. However, if we have genuine faith that our teacher is a Buddha, then through making offerings with such faith, we are making offerings to all the Buddhas, and we receive the corresponding virtue and blessings and the like. And certainly how we can think that our teacher is as kind as all the Buddhas, and as like all the Buddhas, is that the Buddha statue there is not able to teach us. We cannot learn love, about love and compassion and wisdom and the like from a Buddha statue. We can only learn from our teacher. And therefore, having that awareness, we can then see our teacher as being as kind as all the Buddhas, and therefore as the Buddhas. So we've heard now that through seeing our teacher as a Buddha, whether they are or not, we will not incur any faults, and we'll only incur only have benefits. If on the other hand we say, well, I have no idea. I have no way of knowing whether my teacher is a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, etc. I have no way of knowing, so therefore I cannot see my teacher as a Buddha. Then we'll see them as an ordinary person such as ourselves. And this incurs the fault that we will then have doubts that our teacher knows the whole path to enlightenment. Because if they are not a Buddha, they haven't attained the results of the practice and the results of the teachings, and therefore their presentation will be mistaken, etc. And so to having the doubts in the ability of our teacher to guide us, in this way we will definitely incur faults or incur loss. And if one continues and sees one, or to continue at this point, if one sees one's teacher as not being a Buddha, then what does this mean? It means that that one's teacher still has obscurations. They're not a Buddha because they are still obscured. And if they have obscurations, they have faults, and they're not omniscient. They don't know the entire path unmistakably to enlightenment. And then having this doubt, then any faults that we see in our teacher, we will see those as faults. And seeing, and then we will start to then to become critical of our teacher. So in this way then we're having a negative mind towards the teacher, and this is harmful. This leads to a loss for ourselves.
Sanjukumuri,
So for these reasons, if we see our teacher as being the actual, as being an actual Buddha or a Buddha in person, no fault will come to us, and only benefit will come. Seeing our teacher in this way, then all the qualities, all the qualities of the Buddha will be present within our teacher, and therefore will be able to be, we will be blessed, or they'll be maybe not transmitted, but we'll receive the blessings of all the qualities of the Buddhas. So hearing now we've been hearing about all the benefits of seeing, or the reasons why we should see our teacher as being an actual Buddha, and that the loss that would come to ourselves if we don't. Then we should relate this then to what we heard, I think 2 weeks ago, about the way to relate to a teacher, and the way to rely on a teacher rather. So there were the 3 points. So now that we're training and seeing our teacher as an actual Buddha, we then should follow their advice. All the advice we receive, or the teachings we receive, we should make effort to fulfill or to implement, follow that advice. And this, we heard previously, is the supreme way, the very best way to serve the teacher. Then you'll remember the middling way was to serve, to help the teacher through either praising them or to help them physically. And the third way was to make material offerings. So here now we should combine this understanding of seeing the teacher as an actual Buddha with the way that we rely on the teacher. Having come to understand this, then we should endeavor to utilize this opportunity we have well, because if when one is in the presence of one's teacher, if one doesn't when one is in our teacher is abiding in this world, if we do not make efforts to fulfill their instructions or to follow their advice to study and meditate on what they've taught, as well as to serve them in other ways, if we don't do this, but then once they have passed away, we then talk about them with great praise, and we express our tremendous devotion to our departed teacher, and we show tremendous faith and devotion to their photograph, and we maybe meditate in front of it, etc. Well, actually, benefit is not going to come doing it in this back to front way.
Lama 那么这个局外的孙他们你的书写给了那么那么公务是虚笔搞了解那是那么奇怪的借用过的那么公务是没虚笔搞了几节的孙他们去往才过的那云江搞的那么公务是马虚笔公的的缺乏不改这件点把钱呢说是钱把钱呢孙他们拆过的固定的嘛送权节罗定钱还有嘛是吧那公务是虚笔搞了这样那么点把钱缺乏不改这件点把钱呢说是钱把钱呢孙他们拆过的
So where we are now, near the top of page 151, the second paragraph on page 151. So, just to be clear, if one's teacher has passed away and one is meditating with faith and devotion on one's teacher, it's not that this isn't something we should do, or that it's a fault or it's a mistake, etc., or that harm will come from this. Not at all. If one is doing it with genuine faith and not in an insincere way, then certainly this is should be done, and it's how one should practice. However, if one has is doing it only now that the teacher has passed away, and when once the teacher was alive, one wasn't making efforts to fulfill the advice of the teacher, then the amount of virtue that one will accumulate is quite small. Just meditating with faith on in front of a statue or a photograph of our teacher. Whereas if, when the teacher was alive, we made effort to follow their advice. We studied well what they taught us. We meditated well on what they taught us. We helped our teacher, made offerings to our teacher, etc. Then, at that time, of course, we accumulated a tremendous amount of virtue through serving the teacher well like that, especially in the supreme way of following their advice. But now, when they've passed away, when you're meditating with faith and devotion, maybe in front of their image and the like, we will receive very powerful blessings through this meditation, because of this. Of when the teacher was alive, we then made effort to implement their advice and follow their advice. Now that we are continuing with these minds of faith and devotion, then we will receive the blessings from the teachers as if they were there, and those blessings will come because we will be meditating on the topics that they have taught us. And then the blessings that will come from them, that will come now, will be very powerful. So, just to summarize this, if one's teacher has passed away and one is meditating with faith and devotion on the memory of the teacher, maybe using a photograph as inspiration, the blessings and the virtue that will be accumulated will be very different depending on how we related to the teacher whilst the teacher was still physically amongst us. So it's good to be clear on this. Otherwise, of course, we haven't met the Buddha himself in person. We only have a statue. So it's not saying that one shouldn't be making offerings to the Buddha, the Buddha statue, etc. So it's not saying that at all. Our parents in this life have been particularly kind to us. They cared for us when we were vulnerable, and they made sure that, if it wasn't for their kindness, we wouldn't be here now. So we've heard about the presentation many times on the kindness of our parents. And it's imperative that we do see just how kind our parents have been to us. However, when we compare the kindness of our parents compared to our spiritual friend, the kindness of the spiritual friend is significantly greater. And that is because the kindness of the spiritual friend isn't tied to just this life, but rather goes beyond to future lives and all the way in our progression towards full and complete enlightenment. So therefore, by relating to our teacher with minds of sincere faith and genuine devotion, then we will give rise to the qualities of the Dhamma path, because all qualities from the very beginning of the path to the attainment of the final goal are dependent on the teacher. And therefore, the teacher is seen as supremely kind and incomparably precious.
Let's talk a little bit about how to meditate, or what to meditate on when one is visualizing one's teacher. So we reflect on the tremendous kindness of our teacher, but we must then also reflect how our teacher in terms of entity is there's no difference in entity between our teacher and the historical Buddha, between our teacher and our Yidam. There's no difference at all in entity. And this is important for some of the reasons that have already been said, but also so that we don't generate the mind that my teacher is so kind to me, it's leading me to enlightenment, but the Buddha, I've never met the Buddha, so my teacher is supreme to the Buddha, supreme to the Yidam and the like. So this can be a mistake. One can go too far in this direction. Rather, it's important to see them as being indivisible in terms of entity.
Lama also, dear Chamber, maybe Rana Mugu Mena, Lama Chism, Zaya, and Bartola Lamnetin by Michus.
Okay, interesting. So again, let's just read the paragraph. It's the third paragraph on page 151, just above the quotation. So it's about the intermediate state or the Bardo.
Bardo, you Lami Shah Shahwas, in the Lamna Chamber.
Mm.
bardoa se kide jewa chimba ma jewa bardoa de la ane lama ti che se lama she se lama gi che she tene lama ti che shu che an to ba jewa gi le jewa yong go re tene lama she jawa lamna jemba se de nyam ne to ba gi le jewa yong go re la re
So we're talking here about the intermediate state. So the intermediate state, or the Bardo, is the state that between rebirth, so between the death of this life and the attainment of rebirth in the next life, there's this in-between state, this intermediate state, or the Bardo. So if in this life, while one is in the presence under the physical care of one's teacher, one makes strong supplications with faith and devotion that to one's teacher, that one is never separated from the teacher from now until one's enlightenment, that one remains under the care of one's teacher and continues to be guided by this teacher life after life until the attainment of the ultimate goal of full enlightenment. And in conjunction with the prayers, one makes efforts to fulfill the wishes of the teacher, in particular in the study and practice of their teachings. Then When one dies, when us as the practitioner dies and enters into the Bardo, then the guidance of the teacher will be the teacher will still be able to guide us and bless us in the Bardo state.
Lamna jemba sen yana dini chete lamna jemba lade na jemba lade ngazu simjero chije takwe daje lamha mo ne dini tena.
If we've practiced well in this life, we have a mind of faith and devotion towards our teacher, we've made effort to follow their advice, and we've made prayers of supplication to our teacher, heartfelt prayers of supplication, then when we are in the Bardo state, then our teacher will be able to lead us. So we could maybe understand this through like an animal is led on a lead or a cow on a rope, this kind of thing. So in this way, our teacher could lead us and guide us away from a possible rebirth in the lower realms, and rather lead us or guide us to the attainment of another precious human rebirth, or even rebirth in one of the pure lands.
Lama che de bardo ko su dinig lama che ho du da lama ngwe ne bardo le phe ba re be la na ne lama ngwe ne phe gyo ne ma re es ina khar re lam na ta so su gi nye le lama le de ba che chi du che lama la me be shi u je de ne mo lam ya ta ta ne de ni gi de gi che ba da so su gi mo lam ta de ne la mi gi tu che la mi gi pa de ding gi de tu gi sin che an de ni gi jian to ro du an de ne yu go re che jian to go ma da de ne gi Lamalia, Mubi, Mevada, and Dinigi, Deva Majaban, Molam Majaban, Dinigumares.
Dinig, Kuna, Mato, Kri, Badula Depe Kabla, Dinig, Lama Molam Kapkare, and Badu Malib Kung Molam Kapkare.
Dishing on the Shesa, Mad, Badu Kabla, Lama, Lama Chieti, Baduka Lama to Sigur, Cousin, Motu Machine, Lama Deba, Sigi, Lama, the Church, the Molam Yana, Tapne, Dita, and तो जो इसे ढेर या तोपे डालन जिके मारु बने बाटो इका सो अने शीने बाटो इका सो लामा जो जेजे अने लामे शेषे तोपे जे मुरेस जेसा दिसे तो लामा गोई ने दिले बे लामना लामा गोई सुपे योरे बे सने बाटो इका ले दिपे यो मारेस लामा चिन्नंगो आरेस चिन्नावा दे कर चिन्नावा आरेस ने
When we find ourselves in the Bardo state and we encounter our teacher, so then what are we encountering here? Is it our actual teacher who is, transporting himself or sending himself to the Bardo state? It's not that. we're not encountering our actual physical teacher in the Bodha state. Rather, through the power of our faith and our devotion and our prayers or supplication and our practice and the attainments we've attained, then in the through that collected power, then in the Bodo, an appearance of our teacher will be there. So our teacher will appear to us. It won't be our actual teacher. The teacher will appear to us and then thereby be able to guide us. So if one hasn't been making supplications and with faith and devotion, then the teacher will not be able to, or the teacher will not appear to one within the Bodo.
Okay, I just read the verse in the middle of page 151, which is the verse on which the above explanations have come. So it's just repeated the commentary on the first part, which is that once one's teacher has passed away, that is not the time to start practicing what the teacher has said and to now generate faith and devotion in one's teacher. Rather, whilst one's teacher is physically present, when one is around one's teacher, this is the time that one should make efforts to follow the advice of the teachings to the teacher, in other words, to study and meditate on what has been taught, and to serve the teacher, and to do so with his mind of faith and devotion. And then, once they have passed away, then to continue. That is the way to do it, not at some later point after they have died.
Now we come to the presentation on relying on the teacher in the beginning, middle, and end. So here on page 151 we look at relying on the teacher in the beginning. So here this now starts with the part of the text at the beginning of this chapter where we need to investigate a teacher to see if they have the qualities to be a suitable teacher to rely on. And so the meaning of saying this here again, is the time to investigate whether a teacher is qualified to be a teacher is not after one has taken the decision to rely on the teacher, but rather before. So the sequence is clear. One investigates a teacher to come to see their qualities, and then having seen that they are qualified to be a teacher, then decides to rely on the teacher. So that sequence should be clear. And then that's the first point. The second point is, when one has made this decision that I will rely on this teacher, this is my teacher, then when one sees things that sees faults in the teacher, then one should relate to them as not being faults, but rather as an appearance due to one's own negativities, one's own lack of pure perception, one's own afflictions and the like, and rather train oneself in seeing the teacher as being free of faults.
Mm.
When one has made the decision to rely on someone as one's teacher, then it doesn't mean that whilst one has to make effort to fulfill all the advice and the teachings, etc., from one's teacher, it doesn't mean that everything that is said one has to do. The guide should always be whether their advice or the instructions are in accordance with the Dharma. And where they are not in accordance with the Dharma, then this is something that we should readily put aside, and we don't need to feel any compulsion to fulfill. However, at those times, we shouldn't see the teacher as faulty. We shouldn't see our teacher as being faulty, as maybe not knowing the Dharma or being afflicted and the like. We should rather see, at those times, whilst not following that particular advice, we should still train ourselves in seeing the teacher as faultless. As we heard at the beginning of in the first section, the first of the three outlines, there are a number of qualities that a Mahayana teacher and a Vajrayana teacher require, and so we should investigate to see if they have these. But if they don't have all of them, but they have bodhicitta, then that is the supreme quality, the most important quality. If our teacher, who may not have all the other qualities, has actual bodhicitta in their continuum, then by relying on such a teacher, benefits will come to us in this and future lives, or so rather only benefits will come to us in this and future lives by relying on a teacher who may not have all the qualities but has actual bodhicitta on their continuum. So we're here at the top now of page 152, and if the teacher has actual bodhicitta on their continuum, then everything they teach us will be the Mahayana Dharma. And the Mahayana Dharma is of course so important for us in that it is the unmistaken path to actual enlightenment. If the teacher has many qualities, but amongst their qualities, bodhicitta, actual bodhicitta, is not to be found, then by relying on such a teacher, that teacher will still have a degree of a self-centered attitude, a selfish attitude. And so from that, some faults will come.
So for a Mahayana teacher, amongst all the qualities, the most important one is the quality of bodhicitta, the realization of bodhicitta. So when investigating a teacher, then that is the quality that we should see as most important, and that is the quality we should really investigate for.
Lama kashigi mi jibu dhamba digi yundin yunayang, yundin mei dodo shi, yundin bebi zui nyamlin nanggo res. Jezan dini zangan zugi dini ghaa utu ma res, ka hul chagi res. Ani gariyo res, ani kashigi yundin jangshu si mei naya lama kashigi da yu dodo shi ne. Ani zi ngaa shi uga yin, lawa yundin yu jangshu si mei dong yin, jikki den shingu wa sebi ki dini ghi yungu res.
But to know whether a teacher actually has bodhicitta or not is somewhat difficult, because teachers will hide their qualities. And then, on the other hand, there will be those who don't have the quality of bodhicitta or the quality of the wisdom, understanding, emptiness, but pretend that they do. So it's actually quite difficult to know. Actually, the teacher that is main amongst all teachers is the teacher with whom we have a connection from previous lives.
So how
can one then come to know whether one has this connection from previous lifetimes with a teacher? So here it said that without having met them, just hearing their name is enough to make the hairs on one's body stand on end. And meeting or being with such a teacher, faith will naturally arise from the very depths of our heart. So such a teacher with such a powerful connection, one actually doesn't even need to investigate such a teacher because of the power of this connection from past lives.
When we started this chapter, so in the first section, the first outline, we spoke about all the qualities that a Mahayana teacher requires and the qualities that a Vajrayana teacher requires, etc. Now we come to the third section, and at this part that we've just covered, we've heard about a presentation in brief in terms of the qualities of a teacher. If a teacher, as we've just heard, has
just this, this amazing quality of bodhicitta, then such a teacher is one to rely on, because there will only be benefit for this in future lives. And then even that was, and then that's one abbreviated presentation of the qualities of a teacher, of someone who is suitable to be relied on. And the second abbreviated presentation is if one has a connection from past lives. And if one has such a connection, one will know through a powerful and uncommon reaction, such as the hairs on one's arm standing up, even though one has never met the teacher, just heard about them, or one will cry just at the thought of their name, etc. So these two now are very condensed presentations of someone who is suitable to be one's teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Why this is so important is if one is able to be with one's teacher that one has a connection with from past lifetimes, then it will be much easier for one to attain realizations. If one is with another qualified teacher, but one doesn't have that powerful connection, one can and will still attain realizations, but it will be a little more difficult. We'll stop here for tonight then. And just to briefly recap on what we've looked at, we've spoken about how it's important that we see our teacher as being an actual Buddha, because in this way we'll be able to receive the blessings of the Buddha and give rise to all the qualities of the Buddha within ourselves. And it's important we see our teacher as being an actual Buddha, and in terms of their entity being indivisible from all the Buddhas and the historical Buddha, and as well as the Yidams and the like. And then through doing this, then we will receive all the blessings from the Buddhas. And thinking in this way, we will be able to accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue, and that's where we started tonight, with a tremendous amount of virtue that comes from the field of accumulation that is the teacher. And furthermore, when we engage in our morning practice and we're setting our motivation for the day, we should include in that motivation for the day that everything I do today, I will do so as to fulfill the wishes of my teacher. So every activity I do will be to fulfill his wishes. And then in our meditation or throughout the day, we should recall the kindness of our teacher. So for example, when we're eating, so before we eat, we offer our food. And we can, reflect on the kindness of our teacher, that it's only through having received the teachings from the Buddha Dhamma that we are now able to make this offering, because we understand what this offering is and how to make this offering. And in fact, all the virtue and the good that we have is due to the kindness of our teacher. And we offer, do the offering of our meal with an understanding and an appreciation, a heartfelt appreciation for the kindness of our teacher. And this way we can accumulate a tremendous amount of merit when offering our meal. And lastly, when we dedicate, as mentioned this evening at the beginning, we should dedicate our virtues so that throughout this and all future lives we stay under the care of our precious teacher, and we stay under the care and guidance of our teacher until the attainment of our full enlightenment. Next week we'll start in the middle of page 152. We'll start with the story about Milarepa and his teacher Mapa. So we'll start there then next week. So if there are questions, then please do ask. Yes, at the back there.
So I understand the concept of looking at the teacher as the Buddha, but in this instance where the teachings are delivered here in the teacher, your role is very, very central in delivering the teachings in a way that I can understand it. So how should I be viewing you?
Okay, thank you. Okay, now I understand the questions. Sure. So the interpreter then plays a part in delivering the teaching. So then how should you see the interpreter?
As you say, without the translator translating, then it wouldn't be possible to receive the Buddha Dhamma. It wouldn't be possible to receive teachings and make connection with the teacher. So therefore, one should think about think about the translator as being someone who is tremendously kind. In that, through the translator, one is making this opportunity available.
Yeah, that's it. That's
네 자가 힌디 산스크리트한 투 아니 지기미 로자와디 규제 비 로자와디게 규제 매나 아주 이따 비신 플라요 말와 세상 개진 신부로 디나신다 디 이미 만족이다 보기 인지게 마신에 남아주기 최시리 기유시 인지데 규로한다 디 지원 매나 냐요 말아데 이 개친 못이다 개진 신부 책으로 와대
Bringing that illustration, the Buddha Dharma travelled from India to Tibet due to the kindness of the great translators of the past, and so it was only through them that it became they developed the written Tibetan language and translated it into from Sanskrit into Tibetan. So it's only due to their kindness that the Buddha Dharma could travel to Tibet itself. And now similarly in the modern context, that the Tibetan teachers who are not able to teach in English, then they can only do this through a translator.
Okay.